We're in the middle of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, B'mayas Kinon, and we're talking about the Machlokes in understanding of the Mishnah between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we're talking about a case where a person was Mechalel, a Behemas, Hegdesh, a Balas Mum, onto an animal which was much less valuable in terms of the market price. And the halacha requires that the poder, the mechalel, has to pay the difference to Hegdesh. Is that a chiyuv d'oraisa? Is that a chiyuv d'rabbanon? And the Gemara says, how wide is this discrepancy? B'may askinon. Ilema bichdei ona, if we're talking about a difference of a sixth, is baha lema reish lakish tzarech lasos lo domim dvar Torah? Could it possibly be that reish lakish holds that the poder, the machal, would have to make up the difference of a sixth according to the Torah law of asnan? But what about our Mishnah says elu dvarim she'ein lema ona? And on the list, you have karkos, avon, v'shtaros, v'agdeshos. And if there's no din of onah, as the Mishnah says, with regard to hegdesh, how can you tell me that min haTorah, Reish Lakish holds, that you have to pay that shear of onah? If the Torah excluded hegdesh from the din of onah, why would the Torah then turn around and say that you have to pay that 1/6 of a difference? The Ella, so by process of elimination, Bittul Mekach, we're talking about a discrepancy of more than a sixth between the animal that's Hegdesh and the animal that, upon which he's being poded Hegdesh. Baha, Lema Rabbi Yochanan, Tzarech Lasos Lo Domi Mi Divrehem. Could it be that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the poder is obligated to make up the discrepancy only on a Drabonon level, and not on a deraisa level? For Amar Rabbi Yona, ahekdeshos. For Rabbi Yirmi, Amar akarkos. Travayu mishmei, de Rabbi Yochanan amri, ona ein lahem, bitul mekach yesh lahem. We have machlokes between Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Yirmi as far as the transmission of Rabbi Yochanan's statement that ona ein lehem bittul yesh lehem. According to Rabbi Yirmiya, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan was made with regard to karkos. According to Rabbi Yona, it was made with regard to hegdeshos. So it's clear that according to Rabbi Yona, at least, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there is a din of bittul mekach in hegdeshos if the discrepancy was more than a sixth. And therefore, midaraisa, he who is podeh, who is machalel the kedusha of the behemah, the more expensive behemah, onto the less expensive behemah, would certainly have to be mashlim the mos. How then can Rabbi Yochanan say that the chiyuv of tashlumin is only derabbanan? So just to summarize, the Gemara is saying, mimonavshach, we don't understand how to interpret this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. If we're talking about a discrepancy of kidei ona of a shtus, then since the Mishnah establishes that hegdeshos were excluded from the din of ona, how could Reish Lakish maintain that the payment of the difference is doraisa? And if we're talking about yosem ishtus, then at least according to Rabbi Yona and his transmission of Rabbi Yochanan, there is a din of bittul mekach in yeser mishtus, and therefore clearly the mechalel would have to pay the difference on a deraisa level. The olam, the Gemara says, bittul mekach, we're talking about a discrepancy of more than a sixth. But the epoch, let's turn around the shitos. Let's have it as such that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who maintains that the chiyuv to be mashlim the domim is doraisa, whereas Reish Lakish says it's derabbanan. So at least with regard to the problem that we raised, the Rabbi Yona's transmission of Rabbi Yochanan were okay, because Rabbi Yonah said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if there was a discrepancy of more than a sixth, then it's bittul mekach, and therefore surely Rabbi Yochanan would maintain that the tashlumei damim here would be doraisa, because we're talking about a mekach toz. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, might maintain that in this case it's only derabbanan. We have to understand that. But mikomifically, what is the root of the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? What are they arguing about? What din are they arguing about? Whether or not the mechalel has to be mashlim min haTorah min rabbanan? Says the Gemara, they're arguing b'dishmuel, about the statement of Shmuel that we had earlier. The Omar Shmuel. If you have an object that's hegdesh, which is shove mona, shechillo al shove pruta, mechulel. In other words, Shmuel validates the chilul onto a shove pruta, even though the object of hegdesh is worth a mona, so many more times than the pruta. Is Mar Islay de Shmuel one of the two Amoraim? And I would guess, if I had to, that we're talking about Reish Lakish according to the Epoch, or Rabbi Yochanan before the Epoch, maintains Islay de Shmuel, maintains the halacha like Shmuel that you can be Mechalel the moment of Hegdesh onto something that's worth so much less. It's worth only a pruta. And certainly the discrepancy is more than a sixth. And the answer is that according to Shmuel, the logic of Shmuel is that there's no such thing as tos with regard to Hegdesh, as we discussed in the previous shiur. Umar, but the Bani Omer says that the Torah requires you to make up that difference and pay up Hegdesh, Leslie the Shmuel, he holds that it's impossible to mechal Hegdesh on Mammon that's worth so much less than the Hegdesh itself, so much less that it's more than a shear of a shishis, that discrepancy is greater than a sixth. And it means that even though there's no shaychus of toes with regard to Hegdesh, but nevertheless, this is not what we call the Derech HaMekach. This is not a Derech HaMekach. This is not the way that you can establish some sort of purchase, so to speak, some sort of transfer. And therefore, since with regard to a hedgeot, this would qualify as a Bittul Mekach, it's more than a Shtus. Therefore, in the case of Chilul, in such a discrepancy, he'd be Chayv Ben HaTorah LaHashlim Es HaHefresh, to make up the difference. Again, you may ask, why is the chilul itself valid in the case of such a great discrepancy? According to the shita that lesle de Shmuel, that rejects Shmuel, meaning you cannot be mechalel on less than the shavapruta, but yet we're not invalidating the chilul itself. The chilul itself is valid, it's meaningful, it's effective, but we require min haTorah to be mashlim. So the truth is that on this point we have to mention that there's a large scale machlokas rishonim as to how to understand these shitas. The way that Rashi understands this, according to the Ritva at least, is that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that as a result of this Maisa Chilul, the Behemoth Hegdesh is Yotzeis Lidei Chulin Legamre, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says Yotzo Lechulin. The Machlokis is whether or not the Chiv to be Mishalim the Hefresh is Min haTorah Min Rabbanan. However, Tosus Divya Maskal Yotza, the second Tosus on our page, and also the Rashba, they write that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is before the Hepuch. Before Hepuch means that Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the Hashlomas Hamos is only Min Rabbanan. on a deraisa level, of course, the behemah is yotzal lechulin. However, even though it's peduyel gamre, even before he makes up the difference in the mos, the rabbanim require that he makes up the difference in the mos. Reish Lakish holds midaraisa, he must add the mos, and until he does so, only part of the behemah is yotzes lechulin. That part that corresponds to the amount of chil that he did on the other behemah. And only when he pays Hegdesh the discrepancy, the difference, that's when the rest of the animal is Yotzeis L'chulin. So the original Behemoth Hegdesh really goes L'chulin piecemeal in stages. Stage one would be when he's Mechalit for X amount of money, and the discrepancy, which is Y, that's going to clinch the Chilul when he pays that money. However, there is a third approach to this machlokes. The Ritva quotes a Ri that they argue whether or not the pigeon is chal bichlal or not bichlal. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the animal is yotzis lechulin according to the Ikar Din Torah. There's a Rabbanon requirement to be mosif the Hefresh Adamim, but Reish Lakish holds that the behemah is not yotzis lechulin klal, and it's not even keneged hamos shenosan. So those are the various shitos, but we see quite clearly that accepting the last shita, which is the Ritva, the name of the Ri, the first two groups of Rishonim maintain that there are two dimensions here. There's one dimension of the chilul and the pigeon, and that's valid in and of itself. And then there's another dimension of being mashlim, which, if you recall, Rashi derives this from a special pasuk erkecha, that the pigeon has to be an erech amiti, it has to be a genuine reflection of the value of the hegdesh, and that sets up not a tnai in the chilul itself, in when the behemah is hegdesh b'yotzis lechulin, but in the chovas hamchalel to pay up hegdesh ke'erkecha. And that's a separate dimension. The Gemara says, Ibois Ema. The Gemara now offers another possible explanation of this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And according to this, the Kuli Alma, Islahu, Dishmuel, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish accept Shmuel that you can be Mechal Hegdesh, which is a Shava Mana, onto a Shava Pruta. But Vehacha, Behaka Bifkli, the machlokas revolves around a different issue about this thing of the chiyuv to be mosif the hefresh, mar sovar. According to one of these two opinions, again, before the epoch or after the epoch, is the chiyuv to be mosif, that differential, that hefresh, is a doraisa halacha. And what it means is that even though you can be mechal a shava mana to a shava pruta, that's with regard to hegdesh achilulo. That's only if you went ahead and you were mechalel, that's b'dieved, then the chilul is valid, it's chal in. L'chachila lo. However, that's not the way you should do it. If we ask him to recommend how to do the chilul, the Torah says erkecha, and therefore it indicates that he should be poder, the hegdesh be erecha hegdesh. So even though b'dieved the chilul is chal on pachas mishavyo, but nevertheless he has an obligation to be mashlim the hefresh min haTorah. Again, even if he doesn't do so, the chilul and the pigeon is valid and it's chal. Umar, according to the other man there, who says that only min rabbanan has to make up the difference, even l'chatchila he's allowed to do it. What do we do with the pasuk erkecha? Erkecha has to be understood to be erech kol shehu. That's what Rashi explains here. If you take a look about five lines up from the bottom of the page, erkecha kol duhu mashma. And therefore, as far as the hegdesh being mechulo is concerned, all you need is an erkecha kol duhu, and ben haTorah there's no chiyuv based on Erkecha to be Mashlim, to be Mosif to the Hekdesh, but Mirabonon, he's allowed to do this L'chatchila, but he has to pay the difference at some point later on in time. So again, to emphasize what we've been saying, there are two dinim here. There's one din of Chil Hegdesh, and there's another din of Honah. The din of Chil Hegdesh has to do with the Shem Kodesh, and that has to do with the Heftza and the Kedusha that's inherent therein. And then the second din is a din in Tashlumei Mama, a chiyuv that either the Torah or the Rabbanan imposed upon the Mechal to pay up Hegdesh for that difference. And at this point, we might want to add that Rashi points out, as we saw before, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, is Erkechas Kolu Mashma. Tosus, however, Dibra Maskil Umar at the end of the Daf asks Akasha, how is it possible that anyone would hold a mutal l'chatchila, that you're allowed to be machal hegdesh onto a shavaprutis, the hegdesh is worth a mana, you're really violating onah vis-a-vis hegdesh, how can there be such a thing? And Tosis quotes an explicit Gemara in Asugin in Erechim, that anything that Shmuel said about the chil onto a shavaprutis is only b'dievin and not l'chatchila. And the Bailim, it's clear from the sugya there, Kodmim Liftos Agdish L'chol Adam, the first person who's going to be poda this Agdish is the Bailim, and the reason for that is to be Mosif Achomesh. And it's clear from that sugya that the vested interest here, the agenda, is to make sure that Hegdesh gains something, they benefit from it. How could it be possible that it's mutal chatchila to lahonos as Hegdesh, to fraud Hegdesh, and give them a behemoth that's worth a shavah pruta? And Tosus therefore explains Hagemara in a different light, that the chiyuv to be mashlim, according to one man the Omer min HaTorah, is that's only in the case where he's mechalel b'mezid onto pochos mishavyo. So if he was mechalel b'mezid on pochos mishavyo, so then according to one man the Omer, the chiyuv tashlumin is only min rabbanon, and that's what Shmuel meant when he said that the chiyul is valid. But if there was a mistake on the part of the mechalel, and he thought that he's giving in replacement of the behemoth hegdesh something that's worth its value, then he finds later on that what he gave was less, then he's chayv min haTorah to be mashlim it. Now, in terms of explaining the difference between, as Tosus would have in a case where he's miskaving l'chal al pachas mishavyo, where he's paradoxically he's not chayv to be mashlim in the Torah, only min rabbanon, in contrast to a place where he made a mistake and there he's chayv min haTorah to be mashlim, we can say the following: that if he made a mistake in the chiyul, in the evaluation of the chiyul, he didn't realize b'makom sheta b'chiluah kloma shelo yada, listen carefully, shelo yada she'ef shelachalo b'pachos ela sheta hareza chilu b'tos she'eno moel ela im yashlim. In other words, he was of the impression when he was mechal the hegdesh that he has to be mechal it on exactly its value, its equivalent value. He wasn't up on the aware of the principle of Shmuel that even Pochs Mishavyo is valid for Chiyul. So therefore, in a certain sense, the entire Chiyul that he endeavored was based on a Tos. And if that be the case, that Chiyul is not valid unless he's Mashlim. But in the case of someone who deliberately was Mechal on Pochs Mishavyo, knowing that it's valid, but he shouldn't have done such a thing, and he knew that it was also to do such a thing, there's no halach of toast here that could in any way, shape, or form could undermine the validity of the chilul, and therefore the chilul b'dieved is chal ben Torah. We could also add and embellish this by saying that anything that you do, that you can do b'dieved, that's only if you have kavana to do it that way. Then we say that b'dieved, it's valid. But if a person thinks that this is the way he should be doing it l'chatchila, then he doesn't fulfill his obligation even b'dieved. And this person doesn't know that the pidyon that he's doing is b'dieved, and therefore his chil is not chal unless he makes up the difference. Ibois Ema, now the Gemara adds another possible explanation of the Machlokes. And the Gemara is now retracting what it said earlier, that they were only arguing about the Shir Bittul Mekach. Ibois Ema, Li Olam, I could say the Machlokes is in a case of Kidei Onah, in a case of a Shtus, exactly a sixth. Velo Tepuch, there's no need to switch around Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that the chiyuv to make up this sixth is only derabbanon. Rabbi Reish Lakish holds it's min haTorah. Ube derav Chizda kamiflugi. They're arguing about the words of Rabbi Chizda. The Omar, Rabbi Chizda was one who said, "My, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Ein lahem onah, that hekdeshos are excluded from onah? It doesn't mean that they're excluded from the din of onah, but it means einam b'toras onah, they don't have the din of onah which apply to a hedger, but rather the din with regard to hekdesh is even more strict. And what does this mean? And here we're going to take a look at Nun Zayin Amud Beis. They are filu Pachos mikidei onah, even if there's an onah of less than a shtus, which in terms of a hedger would not qualify as onah, it would be mechila, but with regard to hegdesh, chozer, which means that the mechalel is required to pay the dmei onah. Reish Lakish holds like Rav Chizda, therefore min haTorah, the mechalel who transferred the Kedusha onto another animal would have to add the hefresh between the value of the animal that he was mechal on and the value of the Beis Hegdesh. And that's because Reish Lakish accepting Rav Chizda holds that even in the case of a differential of shtus, he has to make up the difference, because the Mishnah means that there's no din of onah lekula in the case of Hegdesh, whereas Rav Yochanan rejects Rav Chizda, and he understands that when the Mishnah says that in Hegdesh ein lem onah, let's take the simple pshat that even if he was ma'ana the Hegdesh, even if he defrauded Hegdesh, the transaction is valid, and therefore if he was mechal Hegdesh of a mana onto chul that's worth even less than a shishis, the chul is, when I say less than a shishis, I mean more than a shishis of differential, is a chilul chal, the chilul is valid. However, midrabbanan, they require that the mechal add the hefresh. If the hefresh was more than kidei onah, which is the shir bittul mekach, then even Rabbi Yochanan is moder that the chilul is not valid min haTorah, as Rabbi Yonah said, bittul mekach yesh lahem. Now the Gemara gets into Rav Chizda and his statement and analyzes that from the perspective of a braisa. Basically, we have a braisa with the dinim of ribis vonah lehedger v'ein ribis vonah lehegdesh. There's a contrast here between hedger and hegdesh, not only with regard to onah, as we've seen in the past, but also with regard to ribis. So it means that there's no taina of onah in the case of hegdesh, according to Rav Chizda, even if there's a discrepancy of less than a sixth, You know, we're being more machmir in Hegdesh. There's a tainus onava Hegdesh, and he has to be, make up the difference. Then we just saw that Reish Lakish accepts the sheet of Rav Chisda. Here in the Braisa, it says, Ein onola Hegdesh. So the Gemara answers, Mi alima mi masnisin. I mean, even in the Mishnah, we saw that there's no onava Hegdesh, but nevertheless, the Okimna, we reinterpreted the Mishnah. What does it mean, Ein lem ona? Bitoras ona. That this normal halach of ona, which means that less than eshtus is mechila, is chozer in the case of Hegdesh. And so, Hanami, I could say the same thing in the Braisa, that ribis vidin ona lehejet. That's how you have to read it. That if Hegdesh was nis'ana eshishis, then Hegdesh has a right to demand their ona. That's in the case of Hegdesh. In the case of Hejot, and the ona is only 1/6, the shtus, then there's no redress, there's no accountability on the part of the nis'ana to get back his money. But with regard to Hegdesh, ein ribis v'din ona la Hegdesh. The Gemara now asks the question, Ihachi, Hainu diktani seifa zechomer behejot mi behegdesh. In this very brisa, the conclusion of the brisa is that there's a chumrin hejot above beyond that of hegdesh. According to Rav Chisda, on the contrary, there's a chumrin hegdesh above and beyond hejot. Because in the case of hejot, in a shtus, there's no redress for ona, whereas in the case of Hegdesh, even in Pachos Mishtus, he has to make up the difference, the Machala. So the Gemara answers our ribis that when the Bryson, the Sefer, makes this comment that this is a Chumra in Hejot as opposed to a Kula in Hegdesh, that contrast, that's referring to ribis. We'll soon see exactly what ribis is. So the Gemara says, but listen, Nami, Chomer behegdish mi behejot auna. In other words, why doesn't the Braisa in the Sefer just calculate the Chumras and the Kulas? You have the Chumra of Hejot with regard to Ribis, and you have the Kula of Hejot and the Chumra of Hegdesh with regard to Ona, according to Rav Chisda. That should have been mentioned here in the Braisa. Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says, that's not the way you should look at it. Bishlema chomer hejot behejot mi behegdesh. There's a fundamental chumra of hejot as opposed to hegdesh. And not only that, this is the only chumra that hejot has vis-a-vis hegdesh. And therefore you can use the word zeh. Right, the Braisa says, Zeh Chomer, Hejot mi behegdesh. Behejot mi behegdesh. Visulo, and there were no other Chumros in Hejot as opposed to Hegdesh. Again, we'll soon see that Tosfos Divrei Maskil Bishlema has a problem with this. But Ela Hegdesh is how could you say zechomer v'sulo, as if to say that the singular chomer and hegdesh as opposed to hejot is the fact that there's a din of ona and pachos mishtus. That's not true. There are many other chumras that apply to hegdesh that don't apply to hejot. But now mentioning Tosfos here, is it really true that there's only one single chumra and hejot above the hegdesh? The Mishnah says that a shomer chinam in the case of mamon hegdesh does not take a shvua. In hejot he takes a shvua. In the case of a ganav, in hejot he pays tashlumi kefal, but in the case of hegdeshos, he's potter from kefal. So hejot is chayav and hegdesh is potter. So Tosfos takes out the gears of a sulo. What the Gemara really wants to say is that we bring the Chumra of Hegdesh vis-a-vis Hegdesh because of the Chiddush, and in the case of the Chumra of Hegdesh as opposed to Hegdesh, there's no Chiddush, because it makes sense that in the case of Hegdesh within the context of chilul, he's going to have to pay erkecha, its value. Now the Gemara addresses the discussion here in the Brice of Rivis. Rivis the Hegdesh Hechi Domi, what's exactly the scenario of Rivis? How is Hegdesh taking Rivis and that's okay? Elam, if we're going to say the Osfe Gizbar, Mea, Bimea Viesrim, the Gizbar himself offered a loan of Mos Shel Hegdesh worth to the tune of 100, demanding in return 120, that doesn't make any sense. Valo mal gizbar. Immediately when the gizbar gives the halva to the loveh, he's motzi the most lechulin, because me'ila is always mafkia hegdesh. And therefore, lo ischalu mos hegdesh al moment acher. There's no way that you can be, in this case, be mechal the mos of hegdesh onto other mos. That hegdesh receiving immediately something in return, that's what chilul hegdesh is all about. You know, you give over the object of hegdesh, and now the hegdesh receives in exchange a value which generates and clinches the pigeon and the chilul immediately. Here in the case where the gizbar offered a loan of Moshe Hegdesh, there's no chilul onto another object or other mos. The only thing is that if it's not chilul, then what is it? By definition, it's me'ila. Again, even though you might ask me'ila is only b'shogeg, and here the gizbar was mazin, the answer is even here there's an element of shogeg, as Rashi points out, and that is that the gizbar thought he's allowed to extend a loan of Moshe Hegdesh in order that Hegdesh should profit by the ribbis. But the Kevan Shemola Gizbar, once the Gizbar inadvertently, unintentionally was Moel, is Yotzu Ma'osav Lechulin, the Mosa now, Yotze Lechulin, the Me'il itself is Machal the Hegdesh, Vavile Hejot. So this is not a case of ribbis of Hegdesh, because the very moment that the Gizbar extends this loan, the Mos become Mechulolin, they become Hejot. And therefore, if the Gizbar is now obligated to return in place of the Ma that he took, the Mea that he took, he has to return Keren V'Chomesh, this is not a Halva of Hegdesh. So that can't be what the Brice had in mind when it said that there's no din of ribbis in Hegdesh or Rav Hoshia. The Brice is not talking about a halva, but Hachamai Askinon. What is the Brice talking about? Kigon She Kibel Olav Lesapek Slosos. The Gizbar gave money to a person, and the person accepts upon himself in exchange for that money a chova, a self-accepted commitment to bring to Hegdesh solace for the menachos for the entire course of a year. And at what value, at what price is he going to do it? Me'arba, which means at the value of four sa'in besela. We'll explain exactly what that means in just a minute. And even though at this particular point, when this individual took upon himself this commitment to receive, in exchange for the receiving of this sum of money, he would support the solas for the meshech for the entire course of the year at the price of arba sa'in besela. But at that point, we don't know what's going to be the market value of soles during the course of the year. It may go up, it may go down. In fact, the omdu misholosh, and the price of the flower rose, and now it's Shalosh Soim Lesela, meaning for the same for the same seller, you can't buy four Soim, you can only buy three Soim. Now let's take a minute to give a little bit of background here as to what's going on. So a saw is a certain volume which is equal to six kavim. A sela is equal to four dinrim. It's a silver coin. And back in the time of the Mishnah, when they evaluated the price, the market price of grain, it was always evaluated as X saws. Just like today also, what we have is, you tell me how many pounds, you know, will you pay for a dollar? How many pounds would you pay for a dollar? I mean, would you buy for a dollar, I guess? So we have solus. Solus is fine flour. And initially it's priced at 4 sah for a seller. But then, which is less expensive, but then it becomes 3 sah for a seller, which means that the price of the flour rose. And now we have Rav Hoshea who's suggesting as an interpretation of this brisa about ribis that as far as hedging is concerned, this arrangement would be absolutely prohibited to accept money for a certain transaction, a certain mekach, and the schum, the exact price or market price is not known. In other words, the shar of the market value has not yet been determined. This is going to be a sugya later on, a daf ayin beis. This is ribis. In other words, now this person receives money up front at the beginning of the year in order to supply, in this case, the treasury, the hegdesh, with all the saltos, all the solas for the entire year. And as payment, he receives the mamon. He receives the money of hegdesh before the actual purchase of the solas during the course of the balance of the year. He's allowed to use that money for whatever he wants. And he's getting it at a cheaper price at 4 saw, when later on it's going to go up in value at the value of 3 saw. So he's paying it at 4 saw basela. Now it's valued at 3 saw basela. This looks like ribis. It's not ribis d'oraisa, it's not ribis ketzutza, but nevertheless, it looks like ribis because he's getting the money up front and he's getting it at a cheaper price. But let's go back to the din of hedjot and compare and contrast hegdish to hedjot. As far as hedjot is concerned, the halacha prohibits paying the mocher in advance for produce that he's going to present, he's going to supply, and they set up a certain price based on the market value at that particular moment, which hasn't really yet been finalized, hasn't been established. This becomes like interest, because if the market price then goes up, then, to clarify this last point, if the market price goes up, then the mocher is going to give the lokeach a lot more of the merchandise, because they set it at a lower price before the market went up, before the value of this merchandise on the market rose. In our case, we're talking about flour, but it doesn't matter what the merchandise is. So again, if the lokeach is going to receive this merchandise at the lower price, it means he's going to get a lot more merchandise. And the reason is because he paid the mocher up front. So he's basically receiving a lot more produce because he paid in advance. It's almost as if he's being paid for the money that he gave on loan. And that's halva. The Bryce is telling us that this Iser of that's ribis, excuse me. And the Bryce is telling us that Iser ribis does not apply in the case of Hegdesh. So again, if Hegdesh here is the lokeach, and they're in a sense placing an order for merchandise, in this case for Soles, and they're going to pay this mocher to supply them Soles, flour at the price of the current market, which is 4 sa'ah per sella, even though the market price might rise, the price of flour might rise, nevertheless, even though Hegdesh is gaining here because they paid up front, and it would normally be also a bit of hedge because it looks like ribis, here it's mut. That's Rav Yoshia in explaining our brisa. And the Gemara wants to prove that in Hegdesh you're allowed to set up such an arrangement. Kiddusnan, as we have in Shkol and Perek Dalud, Hamakabel Olav Lesapek Slotos Me'arba. Me'arba means Arba son Lesela. Fi Omdu Misholosh Mesapek Me'arba. He's going to have to give a lot more merchandise, a lot more sa'in of soles based on the cheaper price that they agreed upon at the beginning of the year. And even though he's taking a loss, but that's the nature of this agreement. And Hegdesh is benefiting by that. And it would normally, as we said before, look like ribis because they gave the money to this merchant up front. And if, let's say, this mocher took upon himself mishalosh, meaning shalosh son lisela, which is the higher price, v'omdu me'arba, they went down in value, v'smesapek me'arba. He's going to have to give a lot more son of soles because of the devaluation on the market of the flour. And that's called Sheyad Hegdesh Al Helyona. That the hand of Hegdesh is always the upper hand. In any event, it's clear here that there's no Iser of Ribis in the case where it went up in value from Arba to Shalosh. Rav Papa wants to come back to our original premise. Now, a suggestion that the Bryce is talking about halva mamish, hacha, here's a case of avnei binyan hamesuros legizbaras kinon. This is based on Shmuel. So we're talking about somebody who wants to transfer avonim, stones, to the gizbar for the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash. And he hasn't yet been magdish these avon, they haven't been consecrated. And therefore, when the person lends the avonim to the gizbar, at that point, since there's no kiddushas hegdesh chal in the avonim at this particular point, the gizbar is not in violation of me'ilah when the gizbar lends this out with an interest, with a ribis, in which he expects to get for Hegdesh more than what he gave. And that's based on Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel, Shmuel says that when they build the Beis HaMikdash, they don't build it with Avonim of Hegdesh. That they don't want to do because there's always a chashash of Me'ilah that many, you know, the workers who are working on these stones may sit on the stones and benefit from them. So rather, what do they do? Bonim Bechol, meaning Bavonim Shalchol. So the hedgehog brings these Avonim to the Beis HaMikdash, but he's not Makdish them yet. And the Acharkach, only later on, Makdishim, then do they go ahead and then Makdish these stones. And since the Gizbar is holding on now in the interim to stones of Chulin, not of Hegdesh, therefore there's no Issa Me'ila, and therefore if he charges Ribis, then it's not Ribis of Hejot, but Ribis of Hegdesh. So this Shmuel's Avonim is a little bit of a Yotzei Dofen, of an exception to the general rule, because generally speaking, if somebody, let's say, the Hegdesh needs something for the building of the Migdash, they pay, let's say, with money, and as soon as the Hegdesh receives the item in exchange for the money, it becomes automatically Kadosh B'Kedushas Hegdesh. However, in the case of these construction materials, because we're so afraid that the builders or other people might violate Me'ilah during the process of construction, they may sit on the stones and so forth and so on. So Shmuel's recommendation was to exclude and protect against such Me'ilah. The Hegdesh would not pay for these materials. Instead, there would be a purchase, so to speak, on credit, and that would postpone the chalos hegdesh onto these avonim, and only after these avonim were built and fixed in place, that's when the hegdesh would pay for them, and through that act of payment, that would be magdish these avonim. So if somebody went ahead and he donated avonim for the construction of the Mikdash, he would not be magdish these avonim until they were fixed in place. The materials, therefore, that were used for Hegdesh, for Hegdesh, were not Hegdesh during the period of construction, even though they were owned by Hegdesh, but it wasn't, there was no chalos kedushas Hegdesh in the cheftz of the avonim. And in these cases, we can have a ribbis situation on a transaction involving Hegdesh. And basically, as we saw before in the previous explanation, there is a ribbis that is accrued to Hegdesh. The Hegdesh is collecting the ribbis. Here too, the Hegdesh is going to collect the ribbis, and there's no problem. Again, so even though it's not Hegdesh in the sense of Kedushas Hegdesh and Cheftz, but nevertheless it's Bailus of Hegdesh, because these Avonim were given as a donation to Hegdesh. Hegdesh owns these stones, and therefore there's no Iser Rivis. That's what we have so far. So these are the two scenarios in which Hegdesh is going to collect ribis. One is in the case of a mocher who commits himself to supply Hegdesh with soles for the entire year, and he's going to pay because the market value went up on flour, therefore he's going to have to pay more to Hegdesh. Hegdesh is benefiting from that. And then the case of the Avonim, as Shmuel mentioned. Now getting back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that there's no din of Kefel for a Ganav to pay in the case of Avonim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Hegdeshos. Minani Mili, how do we derive this halach? What's the source? That if a person steals an Eved or a Shtar or a Karka, or he steals Mom and Hegdesh, he doesn't pay Kefel. The Tanur Rabbanon, we derive it from a Klal Prat Uklal. The Pasuk says, with regard to a Shomer Chinam, who tithes that the object was stolen, the Pikon was stolen from his Rishus, and this is in Shmos Chav Beis, it says, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, which is a klal, al shor al chamor al sel salma, which is a prat, al kol aveda, which is a klal, asher yomer ki uzad alahim yavod dvar shneim, asher yashin alahim yishalim shnayim reyu lechiv of paying kefel, al kol dvar pesha klal, al shor al chamor al sel salma prat, al kol aveda, asher yomer chazav kol al klal. Prat uklal, iyat adon el keena prat, ma prat, which is Shor Chamor Seve Salma, for which Yechayv Kefel, is Meforash, is Dovar Metaltel Gufo Bobon, it's Metaltelin, and it's Gufo Bobon, is Afkoldvar Dovar Metaltel Gufo Bobon, is Yipay Kefel Yotsu Karkos Shayna Metaltelin, Yotsu Avodim, Shehukshul Karkos Yotsu Shtoros, Shavon Pisha Metaltelin, Ein Gufon Bobon. Tosis raises the question of a Kama. How is it feasible logistically to steal karkos that you need a pasuk to exclude it from kefel? Tosis gives two scenarios in which it's possible to steal hegdish. One is called asagas gvul, when he moves the boundary line, the marker, the boundary that separates between his sada and his friend's sada. In this case, the sada is karka, which is not subject to kefel, although he stole karka by moving the boundaries. And the second scenario is if he sells something that's mechubel karka, which has the din of karka. Let's say, for example, a person is mafkid in the hands of his friends a eser gefanim to unos, and afterwards the nifkan claims that they were stolen. He himself stole it, but he doesn't pay kefel. And the halacha of gufo mamon, the halacha of Evan Hukash Lekak, as we mentioned in the past, is derived in Kiddushin Sama, in Kiddushin Chav Beis, based on the pasuk of in Vayikra Chav Hei of Evan, where it says V'snachaltem Osam Lebnechem Achreichem Lereshes Achuza, the Torah was Makish Evan to Karka. So just like there's no kefel on karka in those two scenarios that we mentioned, so too an eved has a shame karka, he's excluded from kefel. And hegdeshos, what's the source that there's no kefel in stealing hegdesh? Omar Kra, the Torah says in the balance of that same pasuk that we read before, Yishalim Shnaim L'Re'ehu, Re'ehu V'lo Hegdesh. The Mishnah continues and says that in the case of Hegdesh, there's no kefel, and the af lo tashlume arba v'chamisha. There's no chiv of dal v'hei for shechting or selling a stolen animal. My taima, why is it so that if a person steals bamis Hegdesh and then he shechts it or he sells it, he doesn't pay dal v'hei? And the answer is that tashlume arba v'chamisha v'rachmona v'lo tashlume shlosha v'arba. Once we've already excluded kefel in the case of someone who steals a behemoth hegdesh, then ipso facto the whole tower falls apart, it collapses, because the Torah never accepted tashlume gimel v'dalid. There's only Tashlumi Dal Vehev, which is an extension of Kefel. Once the Ganav is Chayv Kefel, then, and only then, he can be Chayv Dal Vehev for Tvichu Mechira. Since we've already derived from the Pasuk that if a person steals a Bemis Hegdesh, he doesn't pay Kefel, and Bemela, he doesn't pay the extra Dalid, the extra Sholosh V'Arba to bring it up to Dalid Vehev. Here there's a point here, this mute that excludes Dalet Vehei is only applicable in a Hegdesh case where they have in the Rishus of Hegdesh a Shor Vaseh. As far as Karka, Shtoros, and Avodim is concerned, there's no need to discuss Dalet Vehei. The Torah wasn't Mechayev Dalet Vehei in any cases other than Shor Vaseh, as Rashi points this out. The Rashash has a kasha here that Rashi in Masechta Bava Kama seems to indicate that if you steal from Hegdesh, you don't even have to pay the keren. And if that be the case, why does the Gemara have to introduce here V'lo Tashlume Shlosha V'Arba? There's no Tashlume Shlosha V'Arba because you don't even pay keren. So in other words, since you don't pay keren, The Gemara could have said Velo Shnayim Ushlosha. And Bechlal, you don't understand why the Gemara finds a compelling need to darshan this klal paru klal, that if someone steals from Hegdish, he doesn't pay kefil. The Gemara just could have said simply, Yishalim shnayim omarachmon of lo echad. In other words, since the Torah says that a ganav pays keren and kefil, in a general case, and in contrast to the case of someone who steals from Hegdesh, he doesn't even pay keren according to Rashi, but mainly he doesn't pay kefil as well. The Torah only is mechayev kefil to someone who pays keren. So the Rashash is mechadish, and even Rashi would agree that as long as the Gneva is be'ed, the animal that he stole from Hegdesh is alive and well, he's chayev in Ashova, and he's chayev in keren, therefore. And we might say that he's chayev in kefil and talit vehei. The Mishnah says that Shomer Chinam does not take a shvua. Normally a Shomer Chinam would take a shvua that he was not negligent, he wasn't poshe in a shmir, but in the case of shmiras avodim, shtaras karkos, and ekdeshos, there's no such shvua. Tosas Dibur Maskel Shomer says the Mishnah mentions Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba, but if he was poshea, he doesn't have to pay. Not only is he potter from a shvua, he doesn't have to pay tashlumin. Not only that, Tosa says even a Shomer Sach who's being paid for a shmir, if he's poshea, doesn't have to pay in these cases, because the meat of the Torah was for the entire parash of Shomrim, and she is included in the parash of Shomrim. So why does the Mishnah have to mention Eino Nishma? Why not go to the more fundamental issue of Eino Mishalim? And the answer is that this Mishnah happens to be located in Masechta Shavuos in its original form. And there, Agav, the Deen of Onah, it was brought here, but the mentioning of Shavua is only because of the context of Masechta Shavuos. The Rashba, the other thing, is of the opinion that the Torah only parted the Shomer from Shavua, but he's chayev to be Mishalim for the object itself if it's lost through Pshia. And basically the Rashba says that Pshia is like a mazik, and even though these cases of Avodim and Karkos and Hegdeshos are excluded from the laws of Chiyuv Shomer in the parash of Shomrim, but nevertheless, as far as the parash of Mazik is concerned, there's no reason to exclude these objects, these items, from the parash of Mazik. So for the parash of Shomer, they might be excluded, but Pshia comes under a separate Machayev called Mazik. Minani, Mili, the Gemara wants to know, how do we know this din, that there's no Shvua on Karkos, and on Hegdeshos, and on Avodim and Shtaros, the Torah Rabbanon, again, a klal prat uklal. And this is from the parsha of Shomer Chinam and Shmos Chav Beis, ki yitein ish el re'eu kesef o kelim lishmar v'gunav mibeis ha'ish, im yimotze aganav yishalim shnayim. And afterwards it says, im lo yimotze aganav v'nikra balbais Elohim im lo shalch yodim leches re'eu, which means that the Shomer has to take a shvua in order to patter himself up from tashlumin. So let's go through the klal pratu klal ki yitein ish el re'eu klal kesef o kelim prat chazar v'kolal, then it says v'gura b'beis ha'ish is a klal, is klal u'pratu klal yeta don elo ke'ein ha'prat ma'prat. In the case of Kesev O Kalim, for which the Torah obligates the Shomer Chinam to take a shmur that he wasn't poshen the shmira, is mefarish davar metaltil v'gufo mamin, af kol davar metaltil v'gufo mamin. The Shomer Chinam is chayv to take a shmur on anything that's movable and it has its own intrinsic value. Yotzu karkos sheinu metaltil, yotzu avodim shuk shel karkos, yotzu shtaros shaf al pi she metaltilin ein gufo mamin. Hegdeshos, Amakra, it says in the same pasuk there, ki yitein ish al re'eu, is re'eu v'lo shel hegdesh. So this is the klal pratu klal and the meaning of re'eu to exclude in all these cases the chiyuv of a shomer chinam to take a shvur shel pasha. And the next part of the Mishnah, which is covered here, Also, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Daf, is the case of Shomer Sochar, that he doesn't pay for the Gneva of Avodim, Shtaris, Karkos, and Agdeshos. We don't immediately the Torah Rabbanon. And again, we have a Klal Pradu Klal from the Parsha of Shomer Sochar. There it says, Kiitein Ish, El Re'eu Chamar, Oshar, Osev, Cholbehemo, Lishmar, Umeso, Nishbar, O Nishbar, Ein Roe. And the next passage it says, Im Ganav Yigarmi Imo, Yishalim Lebolov. It means that the Shomer Sochar has to pay for Gneva if the Pikonin is stolen. And now this Bryce is going to darshan a klal prat uklal. Itain isha reu klal. Chamor oshar ose prat. V'chol behem olishmar chaza v'kolal. Klal prat uklal. Yet adonel kein haprat. Ma prat beforosh. The prat here is chamor oshar v'se. Dorav etaltav gufo bomen. And the Shomer Sochar has to pay for Gneva. Afkol dorav etalta legufo bomin yotzu karkos shenim etalta itzav vodim shuk shen karkos yotzu shtoros afal pishu etalta legin gufo bomin hegdeshos omar kra rei eru velo shel hegdesh. The Mishnah tells the Shomer Chidov doesn't take a shvua on hegdeshos urebidi. I'm going to ask you a kasha from a Mishnah in Shkolim. There the Mishnah seems to assume that in fact the Shomer Chidov does take a Shvua on Hekdeshos, and the Mirtz Hashem will cover that sugya, b'li neder, tomorrow.